Peter Sims.
I would like to read with you, please, in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, and verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The Hebrew Epistle, chapter 13. And verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. And verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient to all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. 1 Peter, chapter 5. Reading at verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So I have before my mind for a little while this afternoon to speak about the little flock. There are 9 similes in the New Testament about a local church. Most of them are found in the Corinthian letters. 3 of them are found in the first letter in chapter 3. These 3 are Godward, God's till field, God's building, and God's temple. Then there are 3 in relationship to the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12, the body. Ye are body of Christ. Then there's chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. Ye are the epistle of Christ, or the letter, written and read by all men. Then in chapter 11, Paul likens the local church to a virgin, espoused to Christ. Then there are 3 that have to do in relationship with leaders. And that is the one we've read here, one of them, the little flock. Then there is the letter to Timothy, the house and its order. And then in the Revelation chapter 1, there's the lampstand. Testimony. Now, if we could take these 9 similes of a local church, and as collective companies try to make these truths that are presented in these similes alive in our local churches, how much better off we would be. Because the burden of my heart is I feel we're losing sight of the dignity of the relationship that a local church has in the eyes of God. We're letting things slip and go. Whether it be carelessness, whether it be because some of us are ignorant, we don't know, I do not know, I'm not prepared to say. But I would like to take up this one simile, the little flock, and try to bring before your mind some things about it, and trust the Lord will use it to help and encourage. Now, I'm not here to legislate to anybody. I am not talking off my shoulder about something I know nothing about. These things I'm going to talk to you about, we have in the past year worked them out on the anvil of Christian experience. The Lord has used us to quarry out of the mountain of Roman Catholicism men and women and bring them together into local churches. It has not been easy. Lots of mistakes. The things I'm going to talk to you about are not things that are theory. Most of them are things that I myself have failed in. I learned them in the school of God. I'm now on the other side. I can look back and see the error and hope I'm wise enough not to make the same mistake again. Now, a little flock. I want to look at it in this way. 2 nouns. The little flock and the overseer. Then at these verbs. Take heed, feed, watch, and labor. My remarks will be for those who are younger who aspire for leadership. And I trust that those of you who are older and in this work, you'll appreciate, and you no doubt will appreciate what I'm talking about. The little flock. If you look at other places where you meet a flock, like Matthew chapter 9, where the Lord Jesus said, when his heart was moved in compassion, and he looked at Israel, and they were scattered as sheep without a shepherd. Ezekiel chapter 34, you'll meet the same idea. Jeremiah chapter 50, you'll meet the same idea. Psalm chapter 119, the last verse. When it comes to a little flock, the number one thing about them, they're prone to stray. That's the nature of them. He's prone to stray. The first time you meet about a flock, it was Cain. Cain was a keeper of the sheep. Jacob met Rachel. She was keeping sheep. Sheep have to be kept. They're prone to stray. They must be kept. There must be keepers of sheep because of the nature. They're prone to stray. Then in Jeremiah chapter 50, there the lion. The lion drove and scattered the sheep. The Babylonians and the Assyrians. The lion I take there this afternoon as the devil. They are the subjects of the attack of the devil. Now, when it comes to this little flock, we must approach the little flock for what it is. We can't expect more of them than what they are. They are a flock. And these 3 things characterize them. They're prone to stray. That's the nature of them. They need keepers. They have to be kept, protected. And they're the attack of the enemy. He wants to destroy them. So, over the years, in my experience, there was lots of things as a young Christian used to come up. All kinds of things came up. All sorts of things were hot topics. This is some of the things I want to bring to your attention about the little flock. The little flock. Should we be surprised when the little flock wants things like music in the church? When he wants to come to meeting on Sunday night with blue jeans on? Some want to remove the hat? They want to know if it's all right to go down to the stock exchange and play with their money. Is it right to do this? Is it right to do that? Is it all right if we play hockey? Now, I'm only mentioning some things. These are all things that come from the little flock. That's the nature of the little flock. That's why they need a keeper. Because they're precious to God, that's why the devil, the lion, wants to destroy them. The little flock. My one observation is, in dealing with the little flock, we must take the little flock for what it is. We must accept the little flock for what it is. They belong to Christ. They belong to God. And they're precious too. Two things I tried, and I failed. I take no delight or to take telling you my failure. But at any rate, this is what experience taught me. You cannot criticize the little flock and be their leader. No. If the little flock doesn't think you love them, and you don't care about them, and you haven't their interest at heart, and they think that basically you resent them, you've lost them. You've lost them. My dad used to tell me, when he worked on a farm, and they had about 100 sheep there, and he was working for the Christian man. And he said, you know, he said, they used to always tell us, Frank, that a sheep was stupid. He said, take that fork, he says, and hit any one of those 100 sheep with the fork. He hit one. And for the rest of the winter, he could touch any one of the 99 sheep, but there was one he couldn't get near. Never forgot. That little sheep never forgot. Now, I've learned that by experience. You cannot criticize. You cannot force. You cannot push. You cannot quarrel with a little flock if you're going to leave them. If you can't lead them, you'll never drive them. You won't. The Dichaeta ones. And there's a local assembly today that there's brethren in it that have lost respect for me. A young man, full of ambition and zeal. Primarily, all that I had before me was right. I was right doctrinally. But my way and method was wrong. You cannot force God's people. You cannot drive them. You just can't. If you can't lead them, you won't drive them. A little flock. Now, as I say again, we have to take them as that little flock. That's why in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, That's why there's admonishing. That's why there's warning. That's why there's comforting. That's why there's encouragement. Why? Because these things are a part of the little flock. That's their nature. They will stray. They need to be kept. And the devil likes nothing more than their ruin. Now, overseers, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Now for young men who aspire to this, I hope you realize you're aspiring not to an office, but to a work. You're not going to get an office. You're going to get a work. And if you're not prepared for what the scriptures teach about the overseer, then it's best to leave it alone. Because it's not an easy work. Not at all. The overseer. It says here that he's somebody who's arranged or set in that place, put in that position, give that work by the Holy Spirit. Over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to watch and to care and to tend and to feed and to labor among and to encourage and to comfort. The Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Now it says here, concerning this man, take heed. Take heed. There's a couple of verses I'd like to read. Let's turn to the little book of a little letter of Philemon. Just before I pass on to the responsibilities here of this man. I've enjoyed these terms here, used as Paul spoke to Philemon. I have written over this little letter, the leader's manual of wisdom. As you see how Paul dealt with this man, Philemon, in relationship to taking back that man, Onesimus, who had ran away and no doubt was part of his goods. Listen to what he says in verse 5. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. And I marked this down in my mind, and I put it in my Bible. Paul says to Philemon, the love and the faith that thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all his saints. Number one, I ask myself the question, and brethren, I ask you. Do you love the saints and do you have faith in them? Do you have faith in them, the little flock? Sometimes, you know, sometimes you wonder, eh? Do we have any faith in the little flock at all? Do we really love them? If you don't love the Lord Jesus, you probably won't love his people. And if you don't love his people, it's a sure evidence you don't love the Lord. This man, Paul says, the love and the faith thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Now let's look down from verse 7. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. That's Philemon's work. The bowels, the affection, the inner person of the saint are refreshed through this man Philemon. Now, in a little nutshell, that's really the work of the overseer. Now let's look at taking heed. It says here in this verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. To yourselves and to the flock. Peter said in chapter 5, and the second verse I think it is, he says there was at the third, being models or examples
being a model
Christian. I want to tell you that's difficult. All you have to do is quarrel with one Christian in the assembly, and the rest of the little flock know about it. No, brother, I'm not criticizing nobody. I don't know anything about what's going on amongst any of you Christians here. I'm talking from my experience. You quarrel with a little flock, and the rest watch on and see it. You've lost. You've lost. You've lost. They see you act improperly. They see you behave in an unseemly manner. They see you do things that to them is questionable. You're lost. You cannot leave them. They won't listen to you. They'll sit in the building and they'll listen to your minister. But that sense of respect, that sense of being able to win them, to move them, is gone. God. And there's nothing worse, brother. There's nothing worse than to be responsible for a company of Christians and to stand up and try and lead them and help them when you failed before them. It's a shameful business. Nothing will embarrass you worse. The importance I learned. Paul didn't say that to these Ephesian elders for nothing. He just didn't say, take heed to the little flock. He first said, take heed to yourselves. And I learned what he meant. Take heed to yourselves. Those who lead the little flock must be example, must be model. Not that they're perfect. No, they'll never do that. But they must have sterling. They must have character. They must have testimony. They must have that which the saints of God can look at and respect and say the brother's right, and to know that the brother loves them and is willing to help them, and that's why he's speaking to them. Take heed to yourself. Wasn't so long ago a young Christian came to me. He says, Brother Sims, he says, Is it right for me to play my money on the stock exchange? I said, no, don't do it, boy. Don't do it.
Young man, 23, 24 years, a farmer. Getting a little money, doing well.
Well, he said, I've always considered it gambling. What do you say? Well, I said, gambling. Still gambling. Never changed. Well, he said, I was in a certain place, and he says, they were trying to get me to put my money into the stock exchange. And he says, they're in the assembly. And I told them no. And they told me, listen, right in your assembly, there's people who are playing their money on the stock exchange. And he said, they're leaders in your assembly.
Now listen.
That young man has no respect. No respect. Those brethren can stand up and they can read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And they can exhort from A to Z. And that young brother has no respect. No respect. No respect. And sad to say, I think down in my heart, I feel certain brethren know it's wrong. And they're doing against their conscience, and they know they've lost touch with the flock. And the flock is moving out, just on a formal way. Unless God in His mercy comes in, they're going. They're going.
Listen, brother. Listen. The absolute essentiality of a personal, spiritual,
character before the little flock. You just cannot help you. Can't be. Can't be. Consider thyself. Young man, if you want to be a leader of God's people someday, then you remember the number one thing is spirituality.
Then it says, for the little flock, take heed to the little flock. Turn attention upon yourself. Look at your own ways, your own habits. Then turn your attention to the little flock. My brethren, when you do that, it's hard enough to have attention drawn and keep oneself in order. And few of us can do it. But the responsibility that lies upon men and men who aspire to that work.
I don't blame Moses when he wished he could get out of it. He wished he could die and get released from it. It's not something you run into. It's something, it's a place and a work the Spirit of God gives you and fits you for. And it's not easy. Not easy. Take heed to yourself and to the little flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed or to shepherd. Feed. Tending. Shepherd. Now I, again, I'm not here to criticize. I don't know. I've never been in your library. So you know I'm not safe from being in your presence. But there's nothing worse than going to a Bible reading and sitting in a Bible reading and listening to men try and present truth that they don't know. Fumbling and stumbling. And when the Bible reading is done, one asks himself the question, really, what brings the little flock to this Bible reading? What brings them?
If you're a school teacher, they'd
probably fire us sometimes. My brother, listen. If you have a Bible reading and nobody comes. Can you honestly say, I have put hours and hours into this chapter, into this letter, and I have fulfilled my obligation in intelligently presenting the truth in an intelligent, orderly way from these chapters.
Could we? Coming along the road, young girl said to me, young sister, she said, she's in university. She said, you know, she said, we meet a lot of Christians in those universities. And they can tell us why they believe what they believe.
But she says, there's many a young Christian I know, and they can't answer. They don't know why they are where they are. And they cannot give a reason why they believe what they believe. They can't do it.
No, why is that? Why? Coming along the road, young girl said to me, young sister, she said, she's in university. She said, you know, she said, we meet a lot of Christians in those universities. And they can tell us why they believe what they believe. But she says, there's many a young Christian I know, and they can't answer. They don't know why they are where they are. And they cannot give a reason why they believe what they believe. Can't do it.
No, why is that? Why is that?
Should not the first thing that Christians learn upon conversion learn the epistle to the Romans, not taken up in a verse by verse depth exposition. No. But there are truths in the Roman epistle that are the ground, the rock upon which our Christianity is based, our faith is based.
And I have asked, brethren, and again I'm not criticizing, God forbid, but I want to expose the weakness. I've asked in Bible reading, what does propitiation mean? And brethren couldn't answer. What does regeneration mean? And the brethren couldn't answer. Those aren't truths for the Christians of 10 years saved and 15 and 20 years saved. Those are the rock. Those are what you learn in grade 1.
Those are the truths that Christians are to learn upon newly converted. Learning these truths that are the rock upon which their faith is built. Absolutely essential to a happy Christian life.
If you're not sure what the death of Christ has brought you, how can the rest of your Christian life be effective?
Young man, never had. Seems like Mr. Maxwell had a different type of men where he was brought up. Where I was brought up in the assembly, the only thing that counted was,
did you know the place to go and the place not to go? That was the number one. I was saved 10 years before an Irishman came, called David Craig. I tell you, he filled my heart with truth I never forgot. When he took up these truths, redemption, sanctification, propitiation, and all that truth out of Rome, it filled my heart. Never forgot them. We never heard that. We were young Christians.
Feeding the flock. Feeding them. Another thing that's essential for the little flock to know about, and that is the work of the Lord Jesus as a high priest. You know, there's many a child of God is discouraged. They're down and out. They know they're saved. They know they're going to be in heaven. They know they'll never be in hell. But they have weaknesses in them. And they have things about them that are wrong as far as Christianity is concerned. They know that they should be different, but they're not. And they can't understand what's wrong. They know they should be better. They sin. But they're ignorant as to how that whole thing has been settled and dealt with and provided for.
In the death of Christ, sin can't destroy a Christian. We've already heard this morning there's no sinless Christian. None. God has made provision in the death of His Son so that sin cannot disqualify us. Cannot rob us of fellowship with our Father.
Cannot make us so we have to come sleeping and ashamed and as a coward before the Father.
No. We have an advocate. Sin should make us ashamed, that's right. Sin should never make us feel good. That's true. But sin, those sins that we come and counter with day by day, do not bar us for long times from the presence of the Father. No. The death of Christ has made provision so that we day by day can walk in fellowship with God.
Feeding the flock so that the flock can know these things. My good brethren, listen. There's nothing going to compensate. There's nothing going to be more beneficial to the little flock than that they are taught systematically, orderly, and intelligently the truths of God's Word, the basics first.
Many of the little flock haven't got it. They haven't got it. They're breaking bread and they don't know why. They don't know nothing more about the death of Christ than it saves them from hell, but they can't go no further.
Six. Now, take heed to the little flock that you might feed them.
There's two other things that watching, watch over them, to labor among them. We'll read these here. Let's take up the one in Hebrews 3 and 17. We'll take that one first. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourself, for they watch for your soul as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Here it is, watching for the soul, watching for the soul. We looked at feeding in the sense of feeding the flock. This word here has the idea of watching the soul. Those who watch for your soul. They watch for your soul. It's watching for the well-being of the inner man, the spiritual part of the man. It's not the work of the overseer, as you know, is not so much the outward things, the correspondence, the funds, all these things. They're vital, they're necessary for the assembly to carry on orderly. That is proper, and that's right. But here, the writer says, these men are watching for your soul, little flock, this afternoon. God has set in that assembly that you go to, God has made certain men and gifted them and put them there as overseers, and they're there to watch for your soul. For your soul. Now, when would this be properly done? When would it be properly done? If I see some of the little flock, and I see weaknesses in them, and I see signs of straying, signs of departure, perhaps to them, ignorant, they're ignorant of it. What is the message? What would be the proper method? Would it be best for me to stand up on Sunday morning and minister against this thing? Is this where the work of the overseer would be carried on? Or if there's someone unruly in the assembly, would it be at the same occasion that I would stand up before the whole congregation and minister about that? I'm suggesting, brethren, that laboring among you, those who labor among you, those who watch for your soul, are men who do not minister to your need in the assembly, but it's a private work in your home. Those who labor among you, those who are watching out for your soul. Do we today have men in our assembly who go out amongst the little flock and get to know the little flock and minister to the needs of the little flock in their home, in their private lives, without any of the other flock or anybody else knowing anything about it? It's a personal love. It's a personal interest in this little sheep that I see is weak, and I see is in danger of getting into trouble. And I personally am out ministering. I'm watching for that brother's soul.
I'm watching for that little sister's soul.
Many years I've been in the assembly. Many failures. Many weaknesses.
And I can't, in my mind, in my memory, recall any brother ever coming to me with a personal interest, ever sitting down with me with the Word of God, ever counseling me, ever ministering to my needs. No, I have gone to brethren, but none ever came to me. Little flock, my brethren, would that be true of the little flock that's sitting here today, that they could say, no brother from our assembly has ever dropped in my home and sat down and prayed with me and read the scriptures with me and counseled me and gave me advice? They've never done it. You see, this is what's involved in this, the little flock. They're prone to stress. They have to be kept. The lion is out to get them. And God has given the responsibility of certain men for looking after this little flock. Promised them a special reward. Never fade away. A crown of glory that will never fade away. Never promised any blessing. Never promised anything on this side first. No. Nothing but a lot of tears. I tell you, you win a soul for Christ. And you put hours into them. And you work upon them. Or even an assembly. And then you see things begin to deteriorate. And against all of your ambition, it's a thankless business. You'll get no rewards on this side. None. You may enter into something what the Apostle Paul said, the more I love you, and the more I serve you, and the more I be burned out for you, the more you seem to criticize me, and the less I seem to get from you, from your heart. You may learn that. You may learn that. You get nothing on this side for your work. The responsibility is the little flock. Here it is. Watching for their soul. It's looking after the inner spiritual condition of the Christian. Now my young Christians tonight, I was asked to be around the young people tonight. I'll be there. But I want to take up the other side of this verse when we're there. Your attitude to these men. Your attitude to these men. You know that there's a spirit amongst the little flock. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know why it's there. I don't know why it's there. Perhaps it comes from the thinking of the world today, the attitude of the world today. Maybe we deserve it. But I hear a lot of the little flock criticizing the preachers. And a lot of the little flock criticizing the elders. Maybe rightly so, maybe not, I don't know. But God has something to say with that. God has something to say about the little flock in relationship to those in whom He set over them in the Lord. My last one before I sit down. Laboring, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. Laboring among you. Moving amongst the little flock. Laboring among you. It's not good enough, brethren. Not good enough. To meet the saints on Bible reading night. And on the breaking of bread and the prayer meeting. It's not good enough.
They'll not get that care they need, especially in this day, where there's so much things questioned today. I'm amazed at how, I don't know what's doing it. Maybe I'm just an ignorant type of a fella. But the reasoning that people can bring to you today staggers you. You'd almost think people today were trained to be lawyers, to make a thing that's right wrong, and to make a thing that's wrong right. And they can do it. They can do it. I am a firm believer and convinced in my spirit.
Need to work on that. You're left just the one. The mind is trained in business, and they can bring all kinds of business deals in the ordinary day of life, bring that thing into it to make it right. Here is men who are laboring among the flock, trying to encourage them, trying to teach them. Listen to the things it says now. Know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord. Over you in the Lord, they are your leader. They are models. They are model Christians. You follow them. Know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. You see, it's a little flock. And they're strange. This is their nature. This is why the apostle's teaching these things. It's no good to throw up our hands at the little flock and just reject it.
No.
Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, those that need to be encouraged. Support the weak, those who are weak in mind. Be patient toward all men. I will sit down. My brethren, the little flock. In my estimation, the little flock is straying. And like the Lord Jesus said, they're going like they haven't got a shepherd. Ezekiel chapter 34 said, God saw them out in the mountains, scattered. There was no shepherd to go after them. I know it's a difficult. I know it's a discouraging. I know it's a hard work. I know that. And the thing that would nearly put me out of business, you listen to me well? I've had a few years experience at it, and the thing that well nigh put me out of business is this one. You be a model Christian. You be an example. There's where I found the hardest part to me. I could teach the flock, yes. And I could exhort the little flock, yes. But a young man who acted unwisely, no older man to put their whole hand on my shoulder and say, slow down, boy. That's not the way you do it. No. And I well nigh lost touch with a little flock. I had the truth. I had the zeal. I had the love for the Lord. I really loved the little flock. But I dealt unwisely in relationship to myself and in relationship to them. And there was a failure. My brother, I'm suggesting to you what I see in Canada. Some brethren can't function as leaders because they fall into the same trap I well nigh did. The little flock know they're not model Christians. They can pick the whole at them. They fail in their testimony before the little flock. And the man himself knows, and he stands up and he tries to function, but he knows he hasn't got the little flock with him. He hasn't got them. Brethren, I can see it. God help us. I didn't come here to criticize you, but I come here to tell you what I feel in my heart. The little flock is strayed, and we need men. Men who, though they've made mistakes correctly, get them right. The little flock isn't so bad, they'll never forgive you. No. Might take a few years. But you've proved to them, as years go by, that what was in the past was just a failure. That's not the tenor of your way. You'll win their confidence back. Only easy.